Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Those two schools do not like each other.
No.
They play regularly. Great name. And there's also kind of a cultural element that's developing, where it's like BYU's becoming nouveau rich and spending all their money and trying to be successful versus like the hard-nosed Utes. And that's a fascinating watch for me.
So there was a weird stretch in this rivalry where they didn't play. And now they are playing every year because they're in the same conference. But there was that weird stretch where they weren't playing
well,
regularly.
Didn't BYU get their pants? I think BYU got upset. Utah went to the Pac-12.
Right, left the Mountain West.
And then BYU leaves the Mountain West, goes independent in football and West Coast Conference and everything else. And there was a stretch there. But they've still played like...
Yeah, they played pretty much... They played in a bowl game once.
They played 96 times.
And Utah dominated this for a good stretch. They had won 9 straight years, but BYU's won the last 2. But yeah, I agree. I think that one's a little bit underrated. Let me ask you this. Living next to Mississippi, is Ole Miss Mississippi State underrated at 23?
Okay, so if you would have asked me this in 2015, I would say criminally underrated. Now, it's obviously not ranked there. You know, this is that rivalry peaked in like 2014, 2015, the Freeze Mullen, because both those coaches brought out the worst in not only their own fan bases, but also the opposing fan bases. And so it got to a level that was just absolutely toxic. Now, in the 90s and the early part of the 2000s, it was an underrated rivalry because it was basically like the runts of the litter fighting for the hind teat. And so there was all this, like everything built up into this game. It's like, yeah, you're not going to win the SEC, but you can win the Egg Bowl. And so it had this high stakes, but really in like the last, like really post Mullen, because that was the other thing. Leach and Kiffin got along and they liked each other. And the thought is maybe with Jeff Lebby, because he was on Kiffin's staff and he's kind of he's willing to poke the bear a little bit. But Mississippi State's also in this like weird existential crisis of, all right, are we really going to spend $20 million to be competitive in football? And who knows what that gets us? There's kind of this question of, all right, do we spend $20 million to go 8-4, maybe 9-3 every so often, have a fringe playoff berth? Or do we spend $12, $13 million, try to win our non-con, see if we can pick off a couple of games here and there, go 7-5, and then spend our money in other sports that we care about? Like they just hired Brian O'Connor from UVA, who's one of the best college baseball coaches. That's a sport that matters to them. They seem to be investing in that. And they're still wanting to invest in basketball. Like I'm curious about the Mississippi State case study because I think Mississippi State could actually be doing something that maybe some other schools are going to be forced to do here in the next 5 years.
Did you guys talk about the elite troll job by Lane Kiffin over the weekend?
Over Hugh?
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, I've tried to make it, because obviously my feelings on Hugh are known. For those that don't know, Hugh has been coming under fire for playing too much golf. He also,
and their recruiting rankings are terrible.
Well, but they're
right
getting
now.
They're getting linked. So he, as his golf rounds have gone up, the number of recruits that they've lost have also gone up. But Hugh was involved in a Ryder Cup style match between his club and another club, and they brought the trophy home, and he put it on Twitter, which, hey buddy, read the room. And then Lane, what did he do, like a flame emoji?
He goes, great job, coach, exclamation point, game is on fire emoji.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I am not a golfer, so I don't know anything about tabulating your handicap, but that's what people have been keeping eyes on, right? That he's been playing more, his handicap's
it's
been going
more,
down.
No, it's more of number of rounds. Like, as much as I despise the man, his golf swing is ugly, but he's a good player. Like, he's effective at playing golf. But what has really been tagging people, there's also been whispers on the internet that he also has a burner gin and that he's actually playing even more rounds than he's posting. But, like, what got in trouble was the month of June, like, he played, like, I don't know, 15 rounds in, like, 20 days, and they lost, like, two or three big recruits, and that's what was starting to get people fired up.
Well, right now, according to 247 Sports, Auburn in the 2026 recruiting ranks is dead last and has seven commitments. For comparison's sake, Georgia has 27, Texas A&M has 24, and Alabama has 19 commits.
I did take up for him, though, as much as it killed me. No one cared when Spurrier played all the golf.
I think he was winning. So
the problem is, Hugh is, like, that's why I would also say, buddy, like, unless your number one booster was on your team, do not post that to Twitter.
No.
Like, that would be the only argument that I would have. Let's see. I was looking up. Okay. So, BYU, so they stopped playing. Vegas was that bowl game that you were talking about. So they,
yeah, they played their last. I think they played back to back games against each other.
Okay, so they played all the way through 2013. They didn't play until that bowl game after the 2015 season. They played again 16, 17, 18, 19. 2020 was canceled for 2020 was canceled for COVID, and then they rescheduled it for 2021. And then obviously now they're in the same conference. But my we've been calling it Football Take Workshop, and this will be the last thing before we take a break and get into the list. I think with this universe where these conferences are going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, I think in 15 years the biggest rivalry in the sport might be Texas and Texas A&M, because I think they might have the money to actually fund the best rosters. There's clear hatred.
They do not like each other.
And they don't want to play the game, but the league's going to make them play the game. TV's going to make them play. Like, that's one that I'm kind of keeping my eye on. But it's really, honestly, it's more like looking at you, A&M. Like, prove to me that all this money can actually translate into something.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I think Ohio State, Michigan's never going anywhere.
No, but I do think, well, I guess I should say that could be the SEC's biggest rivalry, which feels hilarious to think about. Like, once we get, like, through an entire, like, generation where it doesn't feel weird that these are SEC schools, that's where I think it could go. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. We'll also talk a little bit more college football later on during hour number two. Stick around, you're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, it is the summer of 1,000 engagements, and the sale is going on right now, and that means you can save up to 40%. And also, for a limited time, you get a free Yeti Tundra cooler with your purchase of $24.99 or more. Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy an engagement ring. I'm not speaking as an endorser. I'm speaking as a customer. We got my wife's engagement ring. She absolutely loves it. We've even added on to it, and we came in under budget. You can also do what I did, which is the custom-made option, and it's not as daunting as it sounds. You can go in with something as simple as a picture, a drawing, a concept that you even have in your head. You'll pick out a center diamond, and you will go and work with the fine folks at Robert Irwin Jewelers to put together a never-before-worn ring. You can also do so with a peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. That means for any reason, if you're unhappy with your purchase, 365 days to return it at the full purchase price. If you're already married and you have an engagement ring and you want to upgrade it, Robert Irwin Jewelers can also help you with that too. There's no better time to head on over to Robert Irwin Jewelers because right now, the Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale is going on now. Save 40%, and with your purchase of $24.99 or more, get a free Yeti Tundra Cooler. You can propose now and pay later with lots of financing options. You can even take up to 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any of their five locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's get to the list. Hot seat rankings. All right, Tim. As we get into talking about football season, one of my all-time favorites is, like, what's the coaching situation? And last year, I believe we went through an entire SEC season where nobody got fired, which oftentimes lends itself to the question of, could this be a spectacular year of the coaching carousel? Well, obviously, there's a couple other things at play. Number one, I think in maybe other years, the SEC would have probably made some moves. Instead, there was uncertainty about the House settlement. Everybody's not exactly willing to pony up to pay the massive buyouts because, well, those are the same people largely funding the roster. So my question for you is, who do you think is actually on the hottest seat right now as we enter the season?
In all of college football?
Let's say all of college football, and then give me your P5 or P4, whatever we're calling it now.
Yeah, I'll leave G5 to the side.
The answer for everyone is Sonny Cumbie. Most people don't understand how he didn't get fired last year because apparently a $1.1 million buyout was too rich for La Tech's blood. Also, La Tech is trying to move conferences. That's not going
that hasn't
great.
Happened yet. What's going on there?
They don't have the votes. And on top of that, then there's an exit fee that's going to be included with that. So the thought was Sonny Cumbie basically kept his job because they were basically not wanting to pay $1 million.
I think, all right, I don't know the buyout situation at Wisconsin. I think Luke Fickell is on a very warm seat. I think the news of Castiglione retiring is no bueno for Brent Venables. I think Venables might be on the hottest seat in the country.
All right, so Luke's buyout would have been $40.18 million if they fired him before December 1st of last year. So the latest... let's say it's going to be at least probably 30. It's going to be 30 plus million.
Okay. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
I also wonder at what point, speaking of Oklahoma, at what point does Gundy start to get pretty warm? Winless last year. And he and that administration have always just kind of been at odds, but he just always won. So that was one. And then I'll say two more, one P5 and one, or one P4, one G5. Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
Very, very hot. And I mean,
although, is it any hotter than it was last year?
The
difference is the schedule, I think, is much harder this year.
Yeah, they play Ole Miss, what, week three? Notre Dame, week five. They're going to lose to Memphis.
Yes, as you've already bet.
I wish I could. There's no line out there yet. And then at some point, Trent Dilfer is going to be fired, right?
I think so. The problem at UAB is the AD that brought him in is still there, and like it was their experiment. The problem is I still think they're going to be bad.
Like, Mark Stoops isn't on the hot seat, is he, at Kentucky?
So Mark Stoops has wound up in this weird spot, though, where because he kind of bounced his head against the ceiling of the Kentucky job for so long, he kept getting paid. And so now it's that weird move of you're getting paid $9 million, but it's one thing to get paid $5 million to go 8-4, 7-5, but now it's like $9 million. I still think that it's going to take scandal or disaster, but you're always in that weird spot where, hey, man, you kind of tried to leave last year and it backfired on you. And now, like, it was one thing when Cal was still there, and but, like, now Mark Pope's way more popular than you are. Like, I don't know. But it's a lot of money to fire him.
Yeah. Who did I miss? Is Norvell on the hot seat of Florida State?
Most people still believe the same thing. The buyout's too insane.
Well, that's what's interesting is, like, so many of these schools, the buyouts are just enormous. And now, I think you made this point already, now these dudes who had the fat pockets when they weren't, you know, paying players, right? Because that was illegal.
You know what I mean.
But now they've been spending all this money on paying players. So it's like, well, dude, we can't do both, you know?
No, so CBS has had, they did a panel this year of, let's see, I believe Fernelli was on there. So here were the people that ranked, and they ranked all 136 coaches, 1 to 5. 5 being you better win or get out. So it's Matt Zenitz, Shihan Jarahaya, Chip Patterson, Chris Hummer, Bud Elliott, Tom Fernelli, John Talty, Brandon Marcellet, and Richard Johnson. And so the results were Sonny Cumbie was the hottest at 5. Brent Venables was number 2 at 4.67. Dilfer, 4.44. Mike Gundy, 4.3. Brent Brennan, that's a weird one, at 4.2.
So do you remember Brent Brennan? Apparently, they had the money to buy him out last year.
And then, I thought they were going to, and then all of a sudden they didn't.
Yeah.
Which, that was a weird situation to me. Sam Pittman at 4.22, Hugh Freeze at 4.22. One that we haven't said, but one that I've always kind of circled, Brent Pry at Vatek.
Yeah, they had a really disappointing year last year. They were, if I remember correctly, I think like top 5 in the country in returning production, and there were some people who believed they could be like a dark horse to win the conference, and they
lost to Vanderbilt on the opening day. Yeah, and when Vanderbilt did turn out to be a lot better than we thought, but
true. I think, did they make a bowl last year?
Yeah, they were in a rainy, like, I think it was that rainy bowl game in Annapolis.
Oh, they played in the Military Bowl last
year? I want to say maybe played Marshall.
No, NC State played in that one. That was NC State, East Carolina, and I think East Carolina won the game. I'm pulling.
Maybe
through.
That was 2 years ago.
They played in the Mayo Bowl last year and lost to Minnesota.
Yeah, that sounds about right. 24-10 to close the year at what? Did they go 6-7?
Yep.
Yeah, Pry's got to be.
I could see that.
That one. I just remember when he pulled that stunt at ACC Media Days, like faking a phone call, like, oh, that was good news, getting a recruit. It's like, oh boy, you are focused on the wrong things. Joe Moorhead at Akron. I just think Moorhead's future, he's going to be somebody's offensive coordinator. Like, he's going to be like one of those guys. Like,
I wanted him. So 2 years ago when Notre Dame's magical Troy hired Jared Parker.
Mm-hmm, your boy.
Which was so awesome. I thought Notre Dame should go after Joe Moorhead and poach him from Akron. He was like, no, I want to stay here. And I don't even know if he was high on the list. They got Mike Denbrock from LSU. But, yeah, he'll be, if he wants to be, he'll be a OC somewhere. It's just, it's not working there. It's just, I don't know if anybody can get it to, get it to work there.
Also in that tier, Napier, Fickell, Mark Carney at Kent State, and then your boy Mark Stoops. Here was what the write-up was about Mark Stoops. It's odd to see Stoops on this list, but it says a lot about the state of Kentucky football in the new era. Longtime recruiting guru Vince Morrow, leaving for rival Louisville, placed a large hurdle in Stoops' pathway to success. It's unlikely he will be fired, but don't be surprised to see a mutual separation soon.
So do you think we are going to get a busy
year? There's also this weird thing of, okay, when do the firings happen? Because what I think leads to chaos is when a big job comes open in October, and then everyone starts to panic. Oh, well, we've got to get a guy, and we've got to get a guy before the end of the season. And so panic just sets in, and then you start to see people operating irrationally. I think, though, for that to happen, I think you have to have one of those jobs come open that basically everyone would take. Is that the Oklahoma job?
It's pretty good.
What about Florida?
I mean, I got to give Sunbelt Billy credit for last year, man. And their schedule, once again, is just ruthless. So I don't know if he can replicate it, because I don't think people give him enough credit for going 8-5 last year. And 7-5, they won their bowl game against Tulane. But that was pretty impressive to see that team kind of come together, especially after the season started, right? You get smacked by Miami, and then you lose to A&M. They were in a pretty bad spot there. So it could come open.
Why did I keep thinking they actually went? Oh, they went 4-4 in league. I was like, I don't know why I kept thinking. Okay, so when you take a look at them this year, though, but I do think they were one of the teams that chose not to fire their guy because of money. All right, so this year they've got...
And I would say partially because of the quarterback, too, because DJ Lagway would have rolled.
No, I think that's a big part of it. Although I've always said you can fire the coach and keep the quarterback. There's just a price. Something called LIU Sharks.
Long Island, baby!
They're playing football. Okay.
After that, it is not as big of a joke.
So then you've got USF at home, at LSU, at Miami. Then they have their bye week. They host Texas. They go to A&M, and they host Mississippi State. Realistically,
you kind of have to be 4-3 at worst.
Yeah, and I don't think it would hurt them to be 5-2.
Right.
Because you got probably going to lose to Georgia. You get Kentucky, at Ole Miss.
On the road, all on the road in a brutal spot. Off of Georgia before Ole Miss. That is a really brutal spot.
Tennessee at home, and then Florida State at home. That is so weird seeing Tennessee in... Like, that was always the standard CBS opening game after the U.S. Open tennis, and the SEC on CBS would be the third week, and that was always the standard. All right, let's kick off the SEC schedule. Now they're playing that in November. Tennessee has struggled mightily at Gainesville, though. I still wonder what 8-4 gets, because I've always claimed that fan base doesn't get enough credit. Like, we mock a lot of fan bases for being irrational. They always somehow fly under the radar. They spent a lot of money having people not coach for them.
Yeah.
They fired
Mullen after going to the SEC championship, right?
Correct. Now, it was the SEC championship game, and then they were 6-6 the next year.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And then they fired Mullen. Because
they were super competitive against a juggernaut Alabama that year.
Now, the problem with Mullen is, when you do things the way that he does, which is he can be prickly, and it works if you're winning, but like, you give yourself no leeway if you're not winning. Like, he's the most successful coach in Mississippi State history, and he damn near got fired in 2013. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not winning, the attitude can kind of be grinding.
Yeah, I'm curious, man. Curious to see what he does at UNLV.
I do think you're right, though. Oklahoma, with Castiglione step retiring, although he is claiming he's hanging around, but that's always a weird one. That didn't feel like a good omen.
No. The guy that hired you is like, I'm retiring. You're like, great. I'm on the hot seat right now.
Well, and then there's also...
And we've got the hardest schedule in the bleeping country.
Well, and then there's also this reality of, all right, you've pushed all your chips in. Now, I do think their roster is going to be better. But you've pushed all your chips in on who's our wazoo OC.
Mateer.
No, the OC.
Oh, Arbuckle.
Arbuckle and Mateer. It better work, man.
Oh, yeah. No, they've gone all in on this. And, you know, I got a text from...
God, how great would it be after all the bad feelings, like if Lincoln needs a landing spot?
No way. There's no
how
way.
How great would that be?
I mean, that would be all time, but there's no way.
That would just be the ultimate, like, tail between your legs.
I mean, the question is, does Bob Stoops come back in to do interim basis again when...
I would like to know,
Venable.
Truth Serum, you ask OU fans, would you take Lincoln back? I think a lot of it depends on how this year goes, right?
Can I give you a top five weird game in the college football schedule?
Yes, you may.
Oklahoma at Temple.
Yeah, I don't know how that one showed up.
After they play Michigan on ABC primetime, and before they host Auburn, they gotta load up the truck and head to old Philadelphia to take on Temple. What?
The good news for Temple, though, is it will look like there's a decent amount of fans there because they wear the same colors. And
that
it's going to be all OU fans.
There are a couple games that are just...
See, I think the game the next week is massive for both teams.
Oh,
the
yeah.
next week is Auburn, and it's the Jackson Arnold revenge game. Like, that feels like a massive swing game for both those teams.
Can Temple cover like 35 at home? Because, man, I'm going to hold my nose and definitely be on the Owls that day.
Who they hired the... Didn't they go FCS?
They hired Sam Houston's coach. He's legit. Like,
yeah.
A good coach.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, that's gonna be a hold on to your butt special. By the way, that I think that is a top five weird game in the college football season. Also, I'll say this. Why would Mississippi State ever agree to going to Southern Miss?
State has historically been the school in the like Ole Miss is less willing to play the other schools. Mississippi State has historically been the one that's willing to do it for like the good of the state.
Well, play them on a neutral or say you can play us
and
in Starkville.
State will have plenty.
Dude, that is a scary game because Southern Miss went 1-11 last year.
Who they are?
Charles Huff, he brought the entire Marshall roster.
They
won the conference.
That's also unfortunate. Like, when they scheduled that game, you didn't know that Charles Huff, like, you didn't think that Marshall was going to be like, oh, we can do better. It's like, all right, buddy, we'll see.
Yeah. Wait, we're going to have to cancel our bowl game?
Yeah.
Oh, I got one more other. Where was it? Oh, SMU, a team who went to the playoff last year. This might be the weirdest game of the year. SMU went to the playoff last year. They play, hold on. God, come on, Phil Steele, how high did you rank
SMU? Oh, they play at Missouri State.
Yes. How great is that spot? It's so weird. Missouri State's first game is an FBS team. They play a team who went to the playoff a year before.
I guess.
First home game.
I guess when you spend $500 million to move conferences, you can't really do that many bye games.
Yeah, they play Baylor at Missouri State at TCU.
Well, you left out that East Texas A&M.
Who is East Texas A&M?
East Texas A&M is 100% a made-up school for a movie in the 80s that you couldn't license the actual names.
Like, I pride myself on knowing almost every college out there. I don't know what the hell East Texas A&M is. What is that?
Well, it's like, you know.
Was it a previous name?
It's like we were laughing. You remember, like, unnecessary roughness. The whole point of Texas State was there was no Texas State.
Not anymore, baby.
Georgia
Pac-12.
Got
12.
I'm looking at East Texas A&M.
I know. What's the
They are the Lions.
Yeah.
Lucky the Lion.
Were they originally another school name?
Well, they've had like six different school names.
That sounds
since
about right.
1889. You've got East Texas Normal College, East Texas State Normal College, East Texas State Teachers College, East Texas State College, East Texas State University, Texas A&M University Commerce.
That's right.
Oh, there it is. Texas A&M Commerce.
There we go.
Yep, they just changed it in 2025. Yeah, they got like 12,000 students there.
Yeah, yeah. Texas A&M Commerce. That's what we know them as. All right, let's take a quick break. I want to talk about this story about the ACC. Maybe we'll preview a little quarterback as well. We'll do that next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
All right, Tim. Over at The Athletic, Matt Baker has done some reporting. We learned about the ACC's renegotiated buyout. So we got the figures this summer, or maybe it was the spring, from Pete Thamel, but we did not know about this language. And this was what Matt added under the subject heading, "What about a Super League?" Officially called, quote, "an option of limited withdrawal, it's the juiciest part of the agreement and new information, regardless of whether it's feasible. Suppose at least six members want to leave the same sport to join a single sport league, conference, or other association," end quote, alongside other schools. In that case, they'll owe $75 million or 50% of the current withdrawal figure, whichever is greater. In practice, That would allow, say, Florida State, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina, and a few other top programs to leave for a Super League in football while remaining ACC members in basketball, baseball, and every other sports. Super League scenarios have been pitched and discussed for months, and logistics could prove difficult, if not impossible, to overcome. However, the agreement does provide a framework for schools to join one. So this is the first question that I have. Is this a tip-off to what behind-the-scenes actual leaders in college football think might actually be happening? Because this is something that you and I have talked about and kind of are hoping for. Make football its own thing, and then have your other sports play regional conference opponents. But the biggest hang-up that I have on this is that the two leagues that they would, let's be real, that they would want to join, they have not shown a willingness. Like, as much as UCLA and USC, Oregon and Washington, and then everyone having to travel to them can complain about travel, like, it's all sport members. Like, I am curious to know if, do you think that this could be like a tip of the hand?
It seems like it is. The ACC to me is so perplexing, because I think you're much more of the belief that it's going to, I don't think disband, but it's going to fall apart here soon. But I think to your point,
I'll phrase it this way. I think their best case scenario is to exist like the Big 12, in the sense that you're clearly a diminished version, but you have your diminished version, but you still have some standing. But that's the best case scenario. And the bigger problem that I see with that is that the Big 12 really gobbled up kind of those mid-tier brands, and now it's like, okay, what else? Who else are you trying to pick off? Because what we've typically seen in realignment is that even if you're, even if geographically it makes more sense for you to be in a certain league, team schools are unwilling to leave stability for instability.
For sure. If they were available, how convinced are we that Florida State, Miami, and Clemson are gobbled up? Pretty convinced? Are they getting a full share? Because that's the new part too, right?
The negotiated settlement.
Right, because what's the buyout in 2030? It's like $75 million?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Basically telling us we're on borrowed time with the ACC. That's what it... And who knows where college sports are going to be in 3-4 years. I actually thought it was a smart move by the ACC to be like, look, can we just push this down the road and who the heck knows what we're going to look like at that point in time?
Well, to like a lesser degree, it's kind of what the American has done. So obviously Memphis fans in general, like they'd rather be somewhere else. And that's completely understandable. For the time being, what the AAC has done is, hey, we have made you the richest school outside of the power structure, and we're going to continue. Like when Memphis scheduled Baylor yesterday, or they announced that they scheduled Baylor, the game's going to be picked up by CBS. Memphis gets the entire rights fee. So like, wow, they're incentivizing, you know what I mean? Like, and I actually think to your point with the ACC and this being a smart move, this is one of those buy yourself some time. Am I convinced they all have homes? Yeah,
full share though.
So I'm in this weird spot where I think North Carolina's got a better shot of getting out than Miami.
I think the Big Ten would happily take North Carolina.
I think both the Big Ten and the SEC want North Carolina and Virginia. It's one of those things that's difficult to explain.
It's
but they
the academic thing, and you know they've got a brand. I think North Carolina for sure. Is
well, in the South, there's this weird thing of like getting into UVA is like more prestigious than getting into Harvard.
I mean, we even had that in the DMV. Like, if you got into Virginia, you're like, whoa, you got into Virginia out of state? Like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, and the same kind of went with North Carolina, too. If you got into North Carolina out of state, same thing. It was like, damn, dude, how smart are you? Who do you know?
Yeah. And so there is, but like, I think both leagues would covet them, but that's the irony of this all is like this feels like it's being driven primarily by Clemson and Florida State, both good brands. But I don't know, man. Like that's the other thing. It's like how willing are they to take the reduced share? The SEC so far, no member has come in at a reduced share. The Big Ten has done it. They've done it multiple times. They started doing it with Rutgers and Maryland, and now Oregon and Washington are on a reduced share, but the SEC, everybody's come in. Like, that's kind of like the SEC's like point of pride is that everybody here has a vote, for better or worse. I just keep wondering if is there going to be a point in which everyone sits there and goes, what are we doing here? Like, let's make football its own thing and let's have the rest. But like, that's the thing. It's like, maybe the Big Ten says that, but they're already the bigger league than the SEC.
I think
the other thing that's obvious is to me, the Big Ten is only focused on Notre Dame. Cause I've wondered in the back of my mind, like when we talk about Lincoln Riley killing a traditional rival and rivalry game, I have wondered if to a certain degree, like that's holding out, like that's a move by Fox and the Big Ten. Like, hey, this is like the only leverage card we have, like to get them to join. And now the dumb thing is like Notre Dame's like, all right, whatever, like your loss.
Well, the funny thing is, I think USC fans, because they're not high on Lincoln Riley right now, are like, dude, you're going to ruin this rivalry.
So he's in this weird mode of the fan base at large, I think is pretty indifferent to him, but it feels like the people that matter at SC like think he's a genius. Like they think he's like a Steve Jobs type. Now, how much more losing can he take? I don't know.
I actually think they might be good this year. I don't know. I mean,
define good.
Yeah, that's fair. I think 8-4. They got really good wide receivers, and I love D'Anton Lynn, their D coordinator, but I don't trust their quarterback as far as I can throw him.
Like Lincoln's had really good success when he's had a Heisman Trophy quarterback.
Jaden Maiava's not a Heisman Trophy quarterback.
No, he's not.
Quarterback, yeah.
I mean, you go through the list. He's had Baker, number one pick. Murray, number one pick. Hurts, second rounder with the Super Bowl. Caleb Williams, number one pick.
It's a pretty good run. Now, if you want to play devil's advocate, he's got that track record, and he didn't really sniff around in the portal.
Yeah, but I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt last year. True. And you and I think Miller Moss is going to be good this year.
He was scapegoated,
and you and I trust him with Brohm. But at the same time, like, I don't know, man. I think at a certain point, like, you just think, like, I can do this with. It was like, do you remember that one of those Wickersham stories that, like, before the book and stuff came out about the Patriots, like, there was that belief in the building that there were, like, 10 to 15 quarterbacks that could do what Tom Brady did in that building. I think at a certain point, you sniff your own farts.
I know we have more very minor realignment news today. The Lopes are headed to the Mountain West officially a year early, so Grand Canyon will be in the Mountain West this year. I kind of want it to be done. I know it won't. I never will know. It'll never stop.
I'll say this, though. I don't think it's... I think we have a couple of... I don't think stuff picks up again to like 28.
Well, I think the question remains, and you would know the answer. Is anyone going to come sniffing for Memphis? Or right now, just because of the buyout and the situation that they have, kind of like UNLV? Then I've heard some rumors that UNLV might be telling people they're joining the Big 12 at some point. Which, that would make sense to me. If I'm the Big 12, I'm poaching UNLV.
I don't want to sound like a homer. I would poach Memphis before I'd poach UNLV.
I would take both. I would just, if I'm the Big 12, I would plant a flag in Vegas and say, this is our city. The Big 10 media days are out here next week. That makes no sense. Like if I'm, the thing about Vegas, and this isn't because I live here, It's an amazing town for championships. So I get
events. It is a big event place.
So if you're the Big 12, and I get it, you've got a tie to the Midwest. Just make Vegas your home. Allegiant Stadium for your championship. T-Mobile for your basketball, and own that city.
The problem is you have so many like Texas ties. Like
it's true. Yeah,
it's a huge part of it.
No, that's a good point.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next. Right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for days, don't tell these story, tell your story. I could go with Scott Frost, and when he was asked, what did he learn from the Nebraska job? Don't take the wrong job. But I got to go with Kevin Durant, who is now blaming the NBA discourse for not appreciating the Brooklyn Nets' journey. Dialogue around the league, the discourse around the league, they don't truly appreciate the journey sometimes of what goes on. Even the ones that don't work out. You can still see some beauty in the Sacramento Kings that didn't win the chip. Or your Phoenix Suns that didn't win the championship. If you really love the game of basketball, you can pull great things from all of that stuff. And that's what I tend to do with the Brooklyn Nets situation. Those teams were largely built organically. Like, you just went and paired up in Brooklyn and didn't win. Like, you were brought in.
Cry over your... Your foot being too big, yeah. I guess. Is that what he wants?
I guess. All right, my man. We'll talk again on Friday.
See you, dude.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show with Connor and George coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.